Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO panel host. This is the first in a series of panels that I hope to be putting together. This time we're focusing on a unique niche, SaaS tools. And the three gentlemen I have with me here are legends in their own spaces. Ben Wills has been around in the space for around 20 years. Just interviewed him. Patrick Sucks. Actually, I've interviewed all of you on my show. If anybody hasn't heard those interviews, it's on unscriptedseo.com for your listening pleasure. But we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes. We did not pre-discuss anything. There's nothing written down in front of me. I barely know what I'm doing. We're going to get into the wild world of SaaS and SEO and what is happening right now. Let's do a quick introduction round for those unfortunate souls who haven't met you before, starting with Patrick Stocks. Let's do it this way. You're walking into an elevator and the ideal customer steps in and they say, hey, what is it that you do here, Patrick?
Patrick Stocks. Most of you probably know me from my time at Ahrefs or IBM. I am an individual consultant now and building a bunch of tools. There's like, I think about 104 free tools on patrickstocks.com now. I've not announced those publicly, but it's kind of cool that some people have already posted about them and found them and shared them in newsletters.
All right, let's go Ben Sinescu.
Yeah, I'm Ben. I am fairly new to SEO. I started working on OpenSEO, which is like the open source alternative to SEMrush and Ahrefs, back in February. I actually posted in r/tech SEO, which Patrick moderates, asking if an open source SEO tool was something anyone wanted. And people seemed really interested in it, so I started building in it. And that's kind of how I found myself in this world. So I thought it was going to be for SEO professionals that wanted an open source tool to build their own tools based off of. But it turns out that most of our customers are entrepreneurs who are doing SEO for the first time. And they're able to do it because it's at a $10 price point with using Claude instead of like $110 or a tool that's more geared at professional marketers.
And Ben Wells.
Yeah. So I was actually telling Patrick, I started in the SEO space this month, 25 years ago. It was August 2001. And that was at a company, helped grow it. I think there were about 30 people when I started. I think around 180 when I left. And managed all the SEO side, the analysts, the writers, the account managers, all of that. And then worked at another agency. And then went off on my own. Started Ontolo with Garrett French. We did a lot of link prospecting and stuff like that. And then decided I just wanted to get into engineering. So did engineering, like everything from building like front end and back end search systems, database systems, all the way to embedded engineering for like high end audio systems or even just pure C code. So over the last couple of years, like slowly getting back into the marketing space and bringing a lot of that engineering experience. And that is building itself into Op Alerts, which I thought it was going to release this week, but it's going to be next week. So yeah, Tuesday that comes out, and it's a tool set that helps you with the actual process of increasing your AS search visibility. So there's a lot of new stuff that I think a lot of people haven't seen before that, just really actually helps with the entire process.
Let's go with the question of what is it about building a SaaS now that is different from previous time periods? Patrick, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'm probably the one non-engineer here. I've done some coding before, but mostly like Python, HTML. I couldn't build most of this stuff in the past, and now with AI I can. Simple as that.
Ben, you're digging into a tool to talk about, you know, the AI visibility of things, but on the back end of it, what's your approach look like, you know, developing it? You have these hardcore coding chops. What has become the role of these new tools and capabilities? You know, for me, you know, I've redeveloped my own little SaaS keyword tool to be more of like an agency platform and portal for myself. And like Patrick, I could not have done that. So what does it look like when you have those hard skills? Is it even more multiplication or of time and talent and speed, or is it more headache, or what is the challenge?
I would say, so, I mean, the benefit is, so there are certain strengths that I have, especially on the back end, data processing. I write a lot of really fast C and C++ code, so stuff is just very, very fast, very performant. But I'm not so great on the front end and the AI stuff. It's just like it fills in the gaps. But in terms of the challenges, I actually had to do a full database refactor because the LLMs had gone off and made database decisions that I didn't agree with, that I actually told them not to, but they still did it. So a lot of it is actually corralling and double checking the work and just hoping you get there soon enough that you don't pay yourself into a corner.
Then I know that you do have like a SaaS and a software development background, but a lot of what you've been building on the open source side, you know, is partnered pretty heavily with LLMs. What's been your experience developing, you know, both the front end and back end of a SaaS with the power of at our fingertips now of these LLM tools?
Yeah, the AI coding agents have like totally, I think, transformed how we can build SaaS. I mean, I think especially as like a solo founder where I'm doing everything from, you know, building the product to handling customer support and doing marketing and doing everything all at once. I just don't think all of this would be possible, you know, even 6 months ago. I think that's a big thing. And then in terms of the actual building, it's so easy to like build a feature now that like works 95% of the time. And like if we have all these PR since we're open source, so people build features on top of OpenSEO, and there's such a temptation to like merge them in and be like, oh my God, we can do everything. But I think one of the biggest things now with AI coding agents is being like, what is the small next thing we should do? What's the, you kind of have to like hold the vision of what do people actually want instead of what is every single possible feature we could add to this tool and make it really bloated.
That is a challenge because, you know, I worked at Raven Tools and, you know, it was over the course of time where the original mission of, hey, we're just going to do reporting really well. Then we're going to do reporting and PPC and we're going to add, you know, keyword tracking, and then we're adding social media, and then we're also doing content analysis. What is the strategy now for holding the line of the concept of a SaaS to a particular focus when, as Ben says, all of the doors, all of the possibilities are open? Let's go with Ben Wills. What's your thought on that?
I was actually going to ask the other Ben because he's like a few steps further ahead of me in terms of figuring out the curation. I mean, I've dealt with this. I'm in the middle of dealing with this where I have a bunch of different ways to find opportunities in the databases that I've built, guest posts, link directories, whatever it is. Like, I think there are over 100 of them and I'm having to curate that down. So like Ben is saying, like, what's actually the most important stuff here? And then I'm looking forward to being where Ben is, which is, all right, now I've got customer feedback. Now I can start figuring out what other things to add in. I mean, I imagine that's going to be a huge piece, is just being able to say no and understanding why you're saying no to certain features.
Patrick, you worked at Ahrefs and, you know, they have very strong opinions of feedback from customers. What was your experience, you know, on the product management side leading that? deciding what the path forward was when not only did you have these nascent tools, but Ahrefs had a very strong development staff and team and resources behind you where if you said go, you could run really hard at something. What was that decision-making process there and any lessons to share?
I would say the lesson is do what you want, because if Ahrefs had listened to customers, they would be a low-cost link tool, something like Majestic still. Instead, they're, you know, one of the main tools used by practically everyone in the entire industry. And it's a balance. There's 1,000 more things Ahrefs always wanted to do, but realistically, like resources, will it make money? You know, certain things launched that were cool, fun projects, but like didn't get enough usage to even really justify the maintenance for them. So they got killed off. And so it's always like, will this actually be used enough? Will this justify its existence? Do we have the resources to even put behind it? Because Ahrefs ran with a pretty small team compared to, you know, what they tried to do. There were competitors 10 times the size or bigger as far as headcount. And yeah, it's just a balance.
Let's swing around to the opposite side, because, or the other side of the coin, I'll say, because building a SaaS is not just on the technical, you know, development side. There's the front end, there's the messaging, there's the managing of social media, there's, you know, that interface and tapping into that marketplace. Like, is there enough demand? You know, is there enough pain points for you to solve? And then let's start there with what's the state of play when it comes to marketing for SaaS? We'll go counterclockwise again. Let's start with Patrick and end with Ben Wills.
I mean, my plan is just leverage my network. I'm fairly well known. If I build some stuff that I say is the best for technical SEO, like most people are going to believe that, and it will be true. So, That is my plan. I don't really post on social media that often, but I have a decent, trust in friends and friends who will try out the tool and hopefully help me spread the word about it a bit. And we'll go from there.
Ben Sinescu, what's the marketing plan look like for OpenSEO?
Yeah. So I'm a huge believer in open source. That was kind of my whole. That was what I was working on before I started working on OpenSEO, other open source tools. But one of the great things about open source is it inherently has distribution, because if you build something that anyone can build on top of, that is free for anyone to do whatever they want with, people get excited about it and they want to share it. So even when it was just like a week old shared on Reddit, people were excited about it because they were like, oh, I've spent 2 to 3 weeks building this myself, and now I can just use yours instead, and you can do all the product development for me. So that's the really great thing about open source, is people share it for you. But on top of that, you need to make it shareable. So I'm constantly thinking about, is my messaging something that makes it easy for someone else to tell their friend, like, hey, you should use it because of this. So just constantly refining that messaging when I see other people share it or talk about it, and make it easier for them to do that.
Ben Wills, what's your marketing map look like?
Man, it's tough, because I feel like I can either get like deep into code, which is what I've been for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I almost completely neglect the promotion marketing side. I'm going to have to flip that back. I think for me, it's trying to figure out, I see a lot of, so a lot of stuff in the SEO and the marketing space that relies on technology, a lot of it is based on intuition and observations and anecdotes. And a lot of times when I have conversations with agencies or contractors or see stuff online that people are publishing about how stuff works, like there are just some fundamental flaws in the logic that I know because of my knowledge of the engineering side. So I think there's an education piece that for me, I'm going to be trying to bring into it, which is helping people understand like hallucinations happen because of how the byte pair encoding and the tokenization happen. And because it's a probabilistic like chunk thing. And so when you see things, when you're asking for the top result, the top sites that you'd recommend and it hallucinates, like there's a reason for that hallucination. You have to understand how some of that works. So I think for me, a lot of it's going to come down to education. And then I think there's a huge opportunity right now for people to figure out like what is AI search optimization, visibility, marketing, like what's that process? What are the metrics? Like, what are we looking for? So much is changing right now that it's hard to pin that down. And so I think as the industry settles, I think it's going to be a lot more clear about like, what is the strategy? How do you build a campaign around it?
What's a solid...
I will talk about a couple other things. So a lot of the things that I built also have like unique visuals or like scorecard kind of views that should be like better for social sharing. Hopefully like people link to them, that kind of thing. And I also created a bunch of content. I think there's like 600-ish articles around tech SEO and AI search, all written by AI, trained on my writing and all of my stuff I presented and a bunch of other things, but well researched and cited. But like I went ahead because I can now with AI, like it even pitches my free tools and stuff within the content the same way, you know, Ahrefs got famous for doing that. So like that's going to be lead gen to the free tools. The free tools will be lead gen to paid tools, etc. So hopefully all that helps with compounding too.
I can chime in with some of my marketing strategy is almost 100% podcast centric, almost to the point of where it's obnoxious. I'm like, because I'm having these incredible conversations, pretty much one every single day. And, you know, Claude and the workflow that I've been able to set up and establish means that I can go live in it with an episode in an hour and have articles that I can pass back to my friends and quote cards and clips and, you know, like that full suite of like, hey, this is, you know, 30 minutes of conversation. That's, you know, 3,000, 4,000 words of unique relevant content to start off to modify from, you know, so that's, I generate SOP articles based off of what people get the insights off of. You know, those are shareables. And then, you know, trying to multiply it as much as possible. But I think, you know, as a last bastion of like, you know, that human conversation, you know, being able to talk expert to expert translates well as far as, you know, a source file of, you know, because you can go to Ahrefs and you can do keyword research, but you're not going to touch on the same things that we four are going to come up with because it's experience. You know, I think one of my guests said, you know, AI has lots of intelligence, but no wisdom. And, you know, we still have to turn to humans for now for that concept of wisdom. I'm curious, what is some wisdom that you would share with anybody that is looking at this space and thinking, yeah, I could do a SaaS. I could make that happen. What's some wisdom to make sure that that's the least painful or the most successful? Let's go with Ben Wills.
Man. I don't even know where to start with that one. I feel like, I hope it's okay to say this. I feel like starting a business is the same thing as like deciding to do drugs or not. Like you probably shouldn't. Like you probably shouldn't. But like if you can't not get yourself involved in whatever that thing is, like take it slowly, educate yourself, like just work the process. I think on the SaaS building side, there are best practices and there are some fundamentals to put into place in terms of how do you build it. Like I think one of the things that the three of us have all said is like curating what makes it in and what stays out is like, it's just such a crucial piece of it. So on the engineering side, like you just mentioned wisdom, a lot of software developers are talking about taste when it comes to AI, that AI can produce stuff, but it doesn't have taste to decide, do we use a B-tree or do we use binary search and a sorted list? Like that wisdom or that taste is missing from the AI. So that curation is your taste. That is the wisdom that you're embedding into the application. So I would say, like, really sit with that and have those hard conversations with yourself about, like, do you really put this in or do you really leave it out? Or some stuff people need to see it to understand it. Like, you can't explain it to them. They got to just sit and use it and be ready to take it back out, like you're saying, Patrick, with Ahrefs. Like, doesn't work, it's not landing, like, just take it back out.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I would say choose something you're passionate about, because anyone can build anything. Everyone wants to build the next Ahrefs, Semrush, etc. If you don't really care about the space or whatever you're focused on, like, you're going to fail. I saw this, you know, I have a bunch of friends and stuff over the years who've wanted to start affiliate sites, and they're like, oh, like, I want to do this. There's so much money there. I'm going to jump into a casino affiliate. I'm like, yeah, there's money, there's competition, but, like, find something you love. You love board games, do that. Like, you love Pokemon cards, do that. Like, if it's not something you're passionate about, more than likely, you're not going to stick with it long enough to actually be successful.
What do you think, Ben Sonescu?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Yeah, I think it's really hard to set out, I'm going to go make a bunch of money and then achieve that. Because I think specifically, you'll have more novel insights, I think, as well into things that you really like. So for me, I didn't have any insights into SEO because I was new to it, but I was working on these open source tools and I was like, open source is the future with, I thought with coding agents, like, one person like me is going to be able to build something that you previously would never have been able to build. So because I was already in that space building open source tools, when I started trying to do SEO for myself and I saw that there wasn't anything there in open source, I was like, oh, okay, maybe this is what I should be doing. And then another piece of advice is, I think you should really try to launch as quickly as possible so you can start getting feedback from people. And then feedback on the product, which is probably going to be bad initially, but people know it's bad as long as you're upfront about that. And people are really supportive when things are in the early stages. But you also get feedback on your messaging, which is maybe even more important, because I think you need to, as an engineer, it's really easy to focus on just the building, but the building and the marketing are all in the same thing. Like, the marketing informs what you build and vice versa. So.
Kind of change tack. As Ben Wills brought up, the space we're operating in and SEO, I don't think it's always been changing. It's always been messy, but I think there are more fingers in the pie than ever before, to the point where it's not necessarily even recognizable as a pie anymore. If there's so many people sticking their thumbs in there, you know, including today's announcement that Google has a new /go-to URL parameter that they're putting into the ecosystem all of a sudden. And so I'm curious, what's a hard data point or metric or a study that somebody has done recently that's kind of given you any sort of clarity in the marketplace right now? And let's go with Patrick.
I don't know that I got anything there. I will say I want to comment on the go-to thing. Like, they were testing that early last year, I want to say. Like, results have been coming with that for probably a year and a half-ish at this point. They're always changing something, and there's always going to be a need for workaround. People think the like, num equals 100 was like, one day it worked, one day it didn't. No, there were like 6 other methods to get those 100 results, and they just, over a period of a couple months, shut them all down. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you're going to have to deal with constant change. Like, there's go-to, there's already workarounds. I know of at least 4 off the top of my head. There's probably 3 or 4 more beyond that. And over the next few weeks, few months, they're probably all going to be shut down.
It does come back to this, the nature of this particular type of marketing when it comes to the internet. And unlike, you know, buying a piece of land and putting a billboard up on it, you know, we're really, you know, there's an aspect of SEO, there's an aspect of search optimization, search everywhere optimization, where we're playing in other people's gardens and renting space, some people call it, and otherwise. But, you know, that kind of makes making tools for this particular niche kind of a slippery thing, because it's not the same. It's never the same. The market need is always moving, but I guess that in some ways is job security for us. Is that how you see it, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the like kind of interesting metrics that I've seen recently has been the Reddit drop in citations in ChatGPT, and I guess my like kind of takeaway from that is, especially for like kind of my customer base of people like just doing SEO for the first time, and there's always people selling shortcuts. Like if you spend $2,000 a month with my agency, we'll, you know, spam your website on every single Reddit forum. You know, if you pay $100 a month, we'll do this AI backlink exchange. And it's like, okay, this may work in the short term, but it's like a bit of a distraction from you just focusing on how do I like actually market my business well? And I think SEO in particular is an interesting framework to look at how do you market your business well, because it's how, what are people searching for? And then how do I match my positioning and brand and content to that? So I think the SEO framework will be here to stay, but the tactics will continue to change.
Would you agree, Ben Wells, or do you have a different take?
No, I actually totally agree. I had the thought a few weeks ago that LLMs, I don't know what percentage of searches it would be, but they're essentially just a front end for a search engine. If they're just aggregating search results from a search engine in the background and cleaning up how it presents those results to you, it's literally just a front end for a search engine. And when I released the AI search visibility reports that I did a month or so ago, just how quickly ChatGPT and Anthropic and the Gemini bot, like all those bots, just crawled the hell out of the site, because there are 300,000 new pages all marketing and AI related to individual industries. And it's the kind of activity, the kind of bot activity that you see from a search engine. And they were on it way faster than Google was, and way faster than Bing was. So I think the idea of it essentially being like a next major innovation for search engines, and then now SEOs have to catch up to what that means, and I think more of the marketing team has to be involved, that's how I'm looking at it. I think that probably makes sense for the long term.
I have seen, you know, I call it, I've come to call it the golden age of SEO, you know, from 2010 to 2020, where SEOs could just bury their heads and not talk to anybody else. Yeah. That's over. You know, I had a gig where I had a customer support representative on the agency side who talked to the account manager on the customer side, who then talked to somebody else. So it's three steps removed, but I was doing SEO for their company and never actually, I played a game of telephone back and forth reporting what I did. I don't think that flies anymore. I think we have to reevaluate the role of SEO. How do you position yourself as an SEO or somebody in marketing in that space with that shift in position? Because you can't just say, oh, well, I make us found on Google. Well, you know, that's not, that might be part of it, but what do you add more to it, or do you shift the framework of the goal of SEO?
I'll start off. I would say I never stayed in my lane anyway. if something needed to be done, like, you know, I'm known for technical SEO, but like I've led some massive content projects. I get involved in analytics and paid and the data quality and front-end website design, like everything. And it really, it's always been like, you should have worked with other teams and you have to really get more done, or like find the ways that it compounds. So like paid and organic is well known, but like accessibility teams and large companies, like if you come together, you can sell things to an organization better. You can actually implement this kind of change at scale. And the more teams you can get involved with it, you know, product and everything, that's the way you're going to get things pushed through now. And it's really how it should have always been. And it is the way that it really worked if you wanted that buy-in. Because a lot of companies, like if you're trying to get a grassroots thing through, like it has to be people, because otherwise it's just like top down, whatever leadership says, and everyone's just reacting to that rather than like, this is what needs to happen for the whole org to change.
What do you think, Wills?
I totally agree. And I think that's the direction that I'm taking with the op alert stuff is like, how do you also support the PR team? How do you also support the product team? How do you also support whoever's dealing with reputation management and monitoring? Whoever the person is on the team that's constantly monitoring the competition and figuring out, you know, is this something that we need to address or not? And so I think the major difference between how LLMs work and a search engine works, I think we all understand that search engines work on keywords, and it's all the way down to how the data is actually stored on disk, how an inverted index works. It's down to the words and the phrases and how long that phrase is and how specific it is and how closely it matches to the query. With LLMs, it's completely nebulous now. And I referenced that study where just one tiny word, and this could be stored in your memory with ChatGPT or whatever it is, can completely change the recommendations that you get back versus what I get back, even if we put the exact same prompt in. And that's a result of ChatGPT or Gemini through Google. The LLMs are built with gathering all the information together, forming a sense of what the business is, and then referring to that and how it generates the response. So I think everyone has to be involved, all the way from product to marketing to customer support, PR, all of it. And what I would imagine the role of somebody who's like the AI search marketer on the team or whatever is just kind of helping nudge everyone in the right direction. Instead of saying, you got to do this. And then also, yeah, at times, Patrick, like you're saying, like, we should really put together this content push to hit this demographic in our market. But I think everyone's going to have to get involved from here on out.
I think customer support in general has really been a hidden strength for me when I've come in on consultations and organizations, because you know they get the complaints of like where the product isn't getting fixed. You know, I think it might have been Henshaw or it might have been Stocks who said the best fix that you can make for your marketing is fixing your broken ass product. my friend Matt Brooks at Esoteric says, you know, you have to train your offsite customer support team in Perplexity, Cloud, this Claude guy kind of gets lost if you don't give him explicit directions about what it is that you do. Is that a large piece of the game, is just trying to get back to a piece of the fundamentals of saying what it is that we do at these organizations? Or am I oversimplifying that?
In my experience, at least, like working at a startup that's a team of one right now, is I've been hesitant about, people have been saying that they're running a team of, you know, AI employees for like a year and a half now, and that was super not true a year ago. But over the last couple of months, it is starting to get quite impressive, especially this new Grokbot tool. It's just amazing. But I think a lot of what I'm focusing on now is like, yeah, how do I define like exactly like what I want each of these roles to do? Like, what do I want the marketer to do? What's the brand? What's the positioning of our brand? What are all the facts we want to write down? And how do I want it to behave? And I think marketers are probably, I think that's going to start to permeate outside of into bigger teams, not just startups over the next couple years. So I think not getting too stuck into a single job description is going to be very helpful for your career. If you just think like, how can I be maximally useful to the business? I think that's going to serve people well.
I'm curious, what's a question you'd ask these other fellows at the table? Either a problem you've run into, a question you haven't quite been able to solve, or a hiccup or a change that you throw out as a question to the panel?
I'd be curious by why Ben Wills is like coming back into the SEO space at this time.
I mean, that was always my intention. I genuinely love marketing, and I genuinely love, I forget who I told this to, but I said, if I could just download a bunch of stuff and make sense of it for other people, I would never retire. Like, I just love it. And marketing and is like a great space for it. And so part of why I got into engineering the first couple years was actually building out the next version of Ontolo. I rewrote everything in C, and I realized like I just needed more time to be an engineer. So I went off and did that, but I always knew that I would be coming back. It just happened to align with all the AI stuff, which I consider myself pretty lucky for.
Ben, unless you have any questions or hiccups or challenges you face where you'd like us to chime in.
I'm going to start prioritize trying to get mentioned by these ChatGPT and Claude. Do you guys have any recommendations for like what I should be doing the next month?
Are you trying to get for like being recommended as a product?
Yeah, I want to get recommended as a product when people are like, I'm new to SEO. What SEO tool should I use? Specifically, probably if they want to use it with Claude or with ChatGPT.
I think you have like an inherent advantage in the, like a lot of these systems are just going to repeat common knowledge. So everyone knows Ahrefs, SEMrush, SE ranking, blah, blah, blah. You're the only open source one. So yeah. If someone, especially in their history, has, you know, used a bunch of open source or lower cost tools, more than likely you're going to already be recommended. But like you've got a path of a while before you're really in the training data in a known entity. But for now, it's like the retrieve pages is where you'll want to be found. So like, look at what's there, make sure, you know, people have all these lists of like the popular SEO tools. Make sure there's like a call out section of like, hey, open source, this is me on those pages. And then more than likely you're going to be recommended because like that's something a little bit different. It adds that additional value into the response.
Yeah, I totally, absolutely say the same. The fact that you're free and open source opens way more doors. In terms of marketing and promotion, people are just going to be way more willing to share it and help you promote it. I would hit all the, I'm sure you've seen like on GitHub, people have like awesome lists of, you know, SQL databases or awesome lists of whatever tools. I would find all the ones for open source and marketing tools. I would get on all of those and I would look for, other publishers online who are talking about like these are free marketing tools, or I would even look at like small business marketing tools and find people who have those lists and either ask, hey, I've just published this. Can you add this to the list that already exists? Or can I write a piece of content sort of putting me with other open source tools to help your audience sort of get started with marketing as AI starts taking over. Like there's just a huge opportunity there that if you were only charging money, like those doors are a lot more closed.
I got an entire list for you too. Like I'm sure you probably already have an MCP. These tools are looking for, you know, if you're when people are building something, they need data from something, whatever, like they're already going out and saying like, what is free? What is low cost? What has a free tier? Like that's where you can shine as far as like lead gen, because a lot of these others, like you already got to pay $100 plus a month to have access to that. So if you have even something that's like, I'll do 5 of these a month for you for whatever it is, or like some way to get that. And yeah, there are entire like directories where these tools are calling from that they're checking to see like what is available, what can I recommend to people to use to start with at least.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
I'd chime in and just say, you know, coupling both putting out relevant, unique content, you know, supporting from your organization itself, as well as, you know, looking for some foundational like knowledge graph and entry places, like Patrick mentioned, getting into that training layer. You know, that's going to happen more over time, but there are some, you know, basic entry points, you know, it, and with, you know, with Claude Code, you can tell it to drive your browser and you can find, you know, a bunch of, you know, SaaS directory sites, you know, and make quicker work of that. That used to be like the bane of my existence, but it's still, you know, there's still citation and entry points of hard data. I know that there are bigger data aggregators and that LLMs are pointing to or pulling data from or getting partnerships with for different things and pieces. Yelp is an easy one. That's a slam dunk to mention because it's very public. But there are other connections like Eventbrite has an API that feeds into ChatGPT so that they can get fresh event information into their platform. There are other things like that on the backbone and database space. Ben or Patrick, if you're aware of any of those more data-centric plays, like IMDb is used as a spine. I think it was John Henshaw mentioned when he was working at Vimeo that they had at a Paramount that they had a desynchronization event where what the timestamps were for their videos wasn't synced up with IMDb, and they realized Google had a power source behind the scenes. So are there any data point centric entries that you're aware of when it comes to influencing LLMs or getting into the training database that people should be aware of?
I mean, there's tons of public deals around that with news and basically everything. I think airlines have some stuff already in there. They're going to go down the list and say, like, you know, get a partnership with someone. Reddit was a very famous one for Google and OpenAI, at least.
Yeah, I think the Reddit data and then Common Crawl is just, you know, a massive data set. I use that for a lot of stuff. And I think what I'm most curious about, and this is one of those things about the evolution of LLMs and AI, is I wonder how much people are going to want to bake facts into the LLMs and start separating that from the search function behind the scenes. So if people start looking at LLMs more as a way to have better conversations, and then they rely on third-party tooling to get the most recent information, like before search was able to be folded into results, you know, you could only search on ChatGPT and there was a cutoff date of when you could get facts. And so now they've split that. Now there's news sources, there's all the internal systems that they have for the information. And so I think the question becomes like, how much of the strategy is to get into the LLM, into the actual model, into the actual data set, and then what does it take to get into the back-end search queries that augment the data?
Love it. As kind of wind down here, I'll put a chance for you to have a moment on the soapbox. Your hottest take in SEO. What do you want SEOs to stop doing now?
That's a tough one. You guys go first.
I
got to figure out that.
I could try. I don't necessarily think I have anything that I recommend they stop doing, but I think that everyone that hasn't like really given it a fair shot trying to use Claude Code or Codex for doing SEO research and planning should give it another try, because like over the last like 3 or 4 months, it has just gotten so good. And specifically too, if you're just like only using like the free ChatGPT or the free Claude, the professional like pro plan is just so unbelievably powerful. it is like the best value product that has ever been made, even the $200 a month one. So I just really urge people to give it a fair try and like spend a whole afternoon or a whole day playing around with it, because it's really incredible.
Yeah, I don't want to tell people to not do something. Like, I'm not anyone's dad anything. But like, it's pretty obvious. I called, you know, listicles were going to be the first thing that got hit by the new spam systems. Like, it's obvious. Any tactic that is abused will be shut down. That doesn't mean it won't work in the short term, but it might hurt you a good amount in the long term. Like, we got lucky, I think, for SEOs, and the, you know, when Penguin came along, yeah, it hurt for a few years. And then Google's just like, all those bad links you built, we just forgive you. And like, that may not be the case in all these new systems. They might hold a grudge for the next 10, 20, 30 years for all the spam that you did in the past. So like, you kind of have to weigh that. Like, do I take the short-term gain? And yeah, like the listicles, they worked. They worked for a couple years at least. And they work too well. And anything you see like that is going to get knocked down a few pegs, if not fully penalized.
Ben Wells.
Man, I don't know what to say to stop doing. I think I'm just like disconnected from a lot of the day-to-day tactics. But one thing I have remembered was at the agencies that I was at, I remember reading that like if you're going to be a sushi chef, the first year you just make rice. Like you don't even touch the fish. You're just learning how to make rice. And that was a metaphor that I used when I was training a lot of the analysts, was just do keyword research. Like it sucks. You're going to hate it. But if you can get like great keyword research done, like for an entire site, for 10, 20, 30, 50 sites, you begin to really understand the correlation between keywords and intent. And that helps so much in terms of how you actually build the your website and how you optimize. And I think there's something similar on the LLM side with prompts. It's like, just sit down and like, how can you get the prompt to respond this way? How can you get the prompt to respond this way? How can you get the prompt to respond this way? Like, how can you get your site out of the prompt? Like, what do you need to say? And just like trying to figure out how it generates stuff is going to help you understand exactly how to word stuff. It's going to give you a far better intuition of how to do like AI optimization, I think, than anything else.
Yeah, I had the founder of Peak AI on, and he did a study where he said, I'm traveling to Los Angeles and I'm going to rent a X and I need a hotel recommendation.
No, that was me.
That study, yeah. Like that one function, you know, that, yeah, that intent, because if you are going to rent a Corolla versus a BMW, yeah, your hotel recommendation is going to change. And I think that, yeah, context window is something that SEOs need to adjust,
yeah,
you know, so stop doing SEO like it's 2010. You know, it's, yeah, my rants, like stop doing it the same, because you have to be intent. You know, we've moved, yeah, from, you know, things to strings, but now those strings are tied to the bigger picture of identity, yeah, and concept. And, you know, the context window in which people are searching, you know, they expect or have been trained to expect a reflection of themselves in the results that they search.
Yeah. Yeah, the personalization piece, and it goes beyond the context window. So ChatGPT saves little things to memory. Like if it seems like something is important in your conversation, it'll save that. And then now that becomes context moving forward. So you can talk 4 conversations ago about going to LA and buying a Civic or a Ferrari or whatever it is. And then when you ask for hotel recommendations, that conversation parts of it could be used for context in a completely different chat. So the personalization aspect is orders of magnitude more pronounced with LLMs than it is with search as well.
Well, I'm really grateful for everybody jumping on and chiming in. I'm going to have all the show notes and versions of this out to all y'all. Thanks everybody for listening. Check out Unscripted SEO for more of the details and how to connect with Patrick, Ben, and Ben. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thanks, guys. Good to meet you guys.
Yeah, y'all too. Thanks for having us, Jeremy.
Jeremy. Sure,